EFTN Fast Break Podcast, Monday, November 4th, 2024, episode 19. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg, DFS. It's Monday. That means I'm joined by none other than Mike Randall. And Mike, it is a big day, not just in the NBA, but college hoops is here. So how you feeling, my friend? And talk to us a little bit about the college basketball content we've got here at FTN, and I don't know, maybe some opening night slate talk.
This is a cornucopia of hoops greatness today. We have every game, every team engaged in the NBA, and college basketball has started. We have Southern Illinois right now in the Samford Pentagon, okay, going against, and what I love here, going against Charleston, a team that loves to shoot the three. We have you covered. Every major team in the Power Six, myself, Walt Waddell, Frank Brank has run the models already. We have the plays in the channel. Yes, we have plays for Duke. Is Cooper Flagg going to go over or under tonight for Duke? Yes, we have Baylor Gonzaga covered. We have that one as well. So many great things. Games across the board. It's my wife's birthday. My son did a nice job getting sick, so we get to stay home today. It has been tremendous across the board. NBA, college basketball. Ah, chef's kiss, Zach. It is.
Yeah, gotta love it. I open up my Twitter feed this morning. I see Mike talking about Purdue taking on Texas A&M Corpus Christi, the Islanders, right? The Islanders who once held Zach Graham to 0 for 2 from the floor in his 6 minutes. So, man, college basketball is here. Again, this is now basketball has truly started now, right? We've got the pros. We've got the collegiates. High schools in your area probably firing up pretty soon. Oh, best time of year coming off another successful NFL week. Here at FTN, I know we had a couple subs. One subscriber won almost 20K on pick six this weekend, Mike.
Zach, they won another 20K. We've had 500,000 winners. And I have to give a humble brag. Favorites go 13-1, Zach.
Yeah.
But the Mike Randall FTN money line pick was the one game. Thank you, Bryce Young.
Thank you,
Chuba Hubbard. Dennis Allen fired. Panthers get to the window. There was only one, and we threaded the needle. Very exciting.
Yep, you love to see it. And let's bring the mood down just a little bit as we get into the NBA side of things, because this was big news late last week. Unfortunately, Paolo Banchero out indefinitely with a torn oblique. He will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks, but I think certainly an injury timeline that could extend well beyond that. Obviously, we're hoping for the lowest number possible. And Paolo, right, we were on this Magic team in part because, not just because of the young core that they have taking another leap this year, right, made it into the playoffs last year, go 7 games with the Cavs, but you had him in the Eastern Conference Finals. I had him as a 2 seed in terms of our hot takes in the preseason episodes, and I don't know, man. It was feeling pretty good. Paolo was averaging 29 points, 9 boards, 5.5 assists in his first 5 games this year. This injury comes on the heels of his first career 50-point game in the NBA. He had 50, 13 boards and 9 assists, 16 of 26 from the floor, 15 of 22 from the free throw line against the Pacers. And that 22 free throw attempts, again, that's going to be an outlier, but that was one indicator that I actually talked about on the FTN NBA podcast 2 years ago in his rookie season, where I was saying, this guy Banchero is getting to the line so much, that's the sign of somebody that's going to be one of the elite offensive players in the NBA sooner rather than later. We were starting to see it to begin this season, and now a huge speed bump here in the upward trajectory of the Orlando Magic. Are they in trouble now, Mike?
I don't think they're in trouble. I have seen this before, Zach, where the best player goes out and the other supporting cast players now get to establish themselves. We've already seen my guy Jalen Suggs take a huge step forward with his consistency. It wasn't as frenetic. He's been 15, 16, 18, creeping up there. Assuming Banchero comes back, which I think he will, hopefully all is okay, I see this as a value opportunity to jump on the Magic and jump on their ancillary players and to see them get better and then support Paolo when he returns. Don't like it. Frustrating. Was off to a great start, like you said, but I've seen this, and if the supporting cast can step up and become even more aggressive offensively, take more of a leadership role, he comes back in, they can fulfill as high as we were on them, especially me, preseason. So temporary hit, but I think they can recover.
Yeah, and I think, like, you've seen guys step up already, even before the injury to Banchero, but like Jalen Suggs has been off to a awesome start so far this year. Right, that three-point number coming back down to earth after he started so hot, but the volume is up nearly four more attempts per game so far this season compared to last in just 1.6 more minutes. Franz Wagner obviously going to be needed to be counted on even more than he already is. Anthony Black is getting more minutes now in this rotation if he's able to take a step again. Maybe just able to buoy this Magic team, and hopefully that 4 to 6 week time frame is actually when Paolo can get back. But I think even if we extend that out to like 8 weeks, let's say right around New Year's, I think Orlando can do enough to stay afloat in the East and still be a contender for a top five, maybe even a top four spot by the end of the year. But again, that's all pending the news 4 to 6 weeks from now on Paolo.
Yeah, we're going to end the news with the other team that we want to talk about. But in the East, let's face it, it's Celtics, it's Cavs right now, and they're right in the middle. I think they can stay afloat. I think they can be a sixth seed, even if he's out for a long period of time, five, six, somewhere in there. That's all they need. But so, yeah, temporary. Assuming he comes back, they'll be ready to roll.
I will bring the mood back up here. And look, there will be episodes, I promise, of the Fast Break where we do not mention the Spurs or Victor Wembanyama. But Mike, this cannot be one of those episodes because I spent last Thursday worrying about the start, the ugly start on offense that the Spurs had coming off the heels of Victor Wembanyama's career low, 6 points against the Thunder, Chet Holmgren and OKC winning that one big time, right? Holding him to just 5 shot attempts, none in the second half. The next night, I called it a must win. Not only do the Spurs win, Victor Wembanyama becomes the third player in NBA history with multiple 5x5 games, right? 5+ points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals. 25 points, 9 boards, 7 assists, 5 blocks, 5 steals. He was a +43 in his 34 minutes in the win over Utah, joining Hakeem Olajuwon, who had 6, and Andre Kirilenko, who had 3 as the 3 players in NBA history with the multiple 5x5s. And I think for good measure, Mike, we got a little bit of a taste of Wimby's, right, the cultured side of Victor Wembanyama last Halloween where he shows up as Slenderman. Now, this might go over some of our listeners' heads. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the movie Spirited Away, but that was something that a movie I've watched a ton. Both my younger sister enjoyed it in our childhood, and my fiance, now a big Miyazaki fan, so loves Spirited Away. He wears the no-face costume. I'll give Halloween runner-up to Pascal Siakam, Andre 3000 singing Hey Ya, that was also great, but the no-face costume for Wimby was fantastic. So a great night, a great bounce back for him, and then the Spurs also beat the Wolves on Saturday at home, so definitely kind of turning it around here as far as my fan emotions, but you can't deny the significance of the game that Wembanyama had on Thursday.
Yeah, he's coming to his own. I mean, he's fulfilling all of what we thought he was going to be when you grabbed your wonderful dog and started running around here on the live stream with Adam Pfeiffer. He's becoming that. His impact, he's more aggressive offensively now. Like he's getting into that mode, that like Jordan Kobe mode where I'm taking over. Like you see it evolving. It's coming. It's tremendous. And shout out, by the way, Andre Kirilenko, one of the best nicknames, AK-47, for those who don't read, just tremendous. Again, not to bring this the somber note down, but we hope Greg Popovich okay after his medical episode this weekend. So really, the timing for Wemby to do this is great because he's going to have to take leadership early, even as a young player. But assuming Pop comes back and all set to go, great win, easy win over the T-Wolves. I'm just still fading the T-Wolves. But everything you say, I agree. Hakeem, has more versatility than Hakeem. Hakeem wasn't bringing the ball up the floor, guys. Hakeem wasn't going out in the three-point arc. Hakeem was great inside with the interior moves and the dream shake, but this guy is a different story. And it's coming, and it's real, and it's fantastic, to quote Seinfeld.
Yeah. Well, and I'm glad you brought up Coach Pop. Of course, we wish him to get better soon, whatever's going on there. And you know I'm dialed in. I've got my Spurs fan friends, our group chats lighting up with that news this morning. Latest reports are Pop is, quote, fine, just needs a little bit of rest. So that's good news. We hope he's back as soon as possible. Former Spur, one guy who was coached by Coach Popovich, Rudy Gay, officially announced his retirement from the game of basketball. Of course, Rudy Gay, the former 8th overall pick back in that 2006 draft, right? So a long, lengthy career here for Rudy Gay, averaged 16 points, 5.5 boards over around 1,100 career NBA games played for the Grizzlies, the Raptors, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Jazz. Congrats to Rudy Gay on a very successful career.
Yeah, Rudy Gay, a nice player, real nice player. It was great at UConn, 15 points per game, had the steals, had the blocks, sort of a Sean Marion-like player, but better scorer, and really found his way to hang around, had several 20-point-per-game seasons. Real got great with three-point range later in his career, had a 40% from three-point range with your Spurs back in 2018-2019. So Rudy Gay, like I say with my best friend Gus Kearns, professional basketball player. Could take over a game. Great scorer off the bench. Longevity. Solid career for Rudy Gay. Love him.
Yeah, you know, $184 million in that career. Not too bad for a guy like Rudy Gay. And I'll always remember, I don't remember what team it was against, but I'll always think about that clip that goes around every time Rudy Gay comes up in the news with the fans sitting courtside yelling as the clock's running down, "No! Not Rudy Gay, not this guy." I think there's a couple expletives in there too. And then Rudy Gay makes the game winner and the crowd goes crazy. So congrats to Rudy once again. And then continuing to move through this season, just one winless team remains. That is the Jazz at 0-6, right? We know about the Hendricks, that catastrophic, unfortunate injury. Lauri Markkanen has been in and out of the lineup with a back issue. Looks like he's doubtful for the Jazz's game here tonight. So maybe 0-7 on the horizon. I don't imagine Jazz fans are too beat up about that because, again, this is a team that very much wants to be at the top of the lottery come next summer.
Yeah, they do. They're going to really struggle, and I recognize that. It's a long-term plan, but without marketing, John Collins has become a DFS favorite. I think he had a GPP score the other night, Zach, at like 23, Collins. So there's value here in the DFS streets, but Collins, George, Sexton, Clarkston, Walker Kessler, if you will, they're going to struggle. They need marketing back. If he doesn't come back, fans, maybe you preach patience. But yeah, there's talent here. There really is, but they got to be patient. Without marketing, this is going to be a rough run.
Yeah, you mentioned Clarkson out, I believe, at least a week now as well. So a very shorthanded roster at this point. But then you look at the other side of the standings, right? Cavs and Thunder remain undefeated. Adam and I were talking about those two teams being the lone undefeateds on Thursday's episode. Both of those teams continuing to roll. I think we both know about the Thunder. We both expected this out of the Thunder. But have you seen anything out of Cleveland that has made you a little bit more encouraged from where I think we already, you know, respected them, said they had a chance, maybe second round, maybe fringe Eastern Conference Finals team. But now I think, again, maybe overreaction theater only 2 weeks into the season, but do the Cavs have a chance to win the East?
You know, I love the new coach. I love what they're more cohesive on offense. Darius Garland's been fantastic. Mobley's taken another incremental step. I feel like Evan Mobley's taken incremental step every single year. Jared Allen is solid as not your second scorer, but as an ancillary guy. And Donovan Mitchell has been spectacular. So if Mitch has an MVP-like season, if he can get going, Spider, this team can absolutely make a run. Darius Garland is the bellwether to me because he can be very up and down. He can have a 3-for-14 night, but I've been impressed. And don't sleep, Zach, on these college players who have come in and are surrounding them from the three-point line. Ty Jerome makes big-time shots. He is a big-time shot maker. He's great to put on the perimeter. Sam Merrill. George Niang, of course, from Iowa State. So I think they've done a superb job building a team that can sustain around the perimeter with Mobley and with Allen inside. Nice job. I like this team. Do I think they have the staying power to reach the Eastern Conference Finals? That's a no. But right now, I do think they are legit. I just don't think they're going to be one of the final two teams in the conference. But yes, this is the Cavs team that we always wanted to see, but never quite got there, but they're off to a great start.
Yeah, if they can make it work like this with those four all-star caliber players in the starting group, you brought up the two names that stand out to me as well, Darius Garland. Much better start to the season. Now he's healthy. Yep. I think that is a big factor. And Evan Mobley, again, taking that step, being able to shoot more from three, spread that floor when he's out there with Jared Allen. That's been the issue when you get to the postseason, that you can't play those guys next to each other as much as you need to. And then again, also bringing up Ty Jerome, That's a great shout by you. Ty Jerome so far this season. This is a career 42.7% from the field, 35.5% from three through his seven appearances. Again, playing about 15 minutes off the bench, but that can be a pretty significant role on a team like this trying to contend, maybe trying to play a little bit above expectation. 57% from the field, 50 from three on nearly two attempts per game. Great shout by you on Ty Jerome and his early season success.
You ended up having on that team Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, that whole group that went out in the upset to UMBC, which, Zach, is the most overblown sports moment since Bill Buckner got blamed in 86. Because if Bill Buckner catches that ball with Mets Red Sox 86, the comeback has occurred. People make it seem like if Buckner fields a ground ball, the Red Sox win the World Series. Not true. They had already blown the two-run lead. Guys, DeAndre Hunter did not play in the first round when they were one seed against UMBC. I think NBA fans of the fast break know that DeAndre Hunter has been a starter in the league for like 8 years right now. Yeah. So that's a critical loss for a Virginia team that's not oozing with talent. Shout out Jay Huff. We'll get to him later. Yeah. My point is that has been overblown. Jerome, they come back the next year and they win the title. There's moxie there. There's toughness. There's mental toughness. There's a hard work ethic from Tony Bennett. Enjoy your retirement. That's the type of players I like. Jerome, Guy now who's a coach, et cetera, all that stuff.
Yeah, and Jay Huff Renaissance. We'll talk about Jay Huff here in a little bit. And again, like looking at the standings, right, you can see like sixth place in the full NBA standings is separated from 29th place by just three games here 2 weeks into the season. So you don't want to look too much into these standings this early on, but it would be, I think, malpractice, podcast malpractice, Mike, if we did not bring up who the 29th place team is at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. The Milwaukee Bucks, 1-5 after losses to shorthanded Memphis and undefeated Cleveland. We know they already have a loss to the dregs of the league in Brooklyn as well. Dame, 41 points was not enough to get it done against Cleveland on Saturday. We've also had Giannis Antetokounmpo trade rumors bubbling to the surface, where I've heard multiple other podcasts, a Low Post or somebody like that, one of the Ringers podcasts, where they say, league sources telling me that this is something that is for real. And so I hear that, and it makes sense to me, Mike. You think about the dysfunction that this franchise has been in over the last season plus. You go 30-13 under Adrian Griffin. I understand that the players maybe didn't like the way that Adrian Griffin had implemented his offense, his defensive schemes. A lot was made around how they were guarding ball screens to start last year. He capitulated to the players again. They were winning 30-13. You bring in Doc. It all falls apart last year, but okay, maybe we've got an excuse with the injuries. And Chris Middleton is still injured, but this team should not be 1-5. And it feels broken. It looks broken. So what is your... How do you see this team? I know we've talked a lot about him, especially about Chris Middleton. He's still on the mend, but does Chris Middleton come in here and make that much of a difference for this team to where they get back to anywhere close to what we expected? This is a horrendous start for Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee Bucks did not think that they could win another championship with the trio of Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday. They saw Drew Holiday. This is only me talking. They saw Drew Holiday as an ancillary piece. He's a great ancillary piece, but they did not want him to be what they knew was going to evolve as Middleton was starting to break down as the number two player on the team. They got their title because Durant's toe was too big on the line. Fine. But then they struggled in the postseason. Giannis, I believe, wanted Dame. He wanted the Robin. He wanted the second guy. So they jettisoned Holiday. Griffin came in. And I know on the surface it looks bad. My entire family rips on me about this. Guys, Adrian Griffin in that franchise was causing major problems. Look no further than Terry Stotts, who is not known as a rabble-rouser, argumentative, angry guy. He quit 2 weeks in. So obviously there was something about Griffin. They ended up playing well, but that was a sinking ship. Please, people, do not tell me that the Bucks would have won and been better last year if Adrian Griffin said it would have fallen apart. They make the move to Doc because they already said Giannis wants Dame. We're going to go with a player's coach. It's not working. It's a nightmare. It's not working. This could blow up and Giannis could go. He wants to be there. He wants a second title. They delivered. The Deer District is hopping. Everything is great. It's a problem, Zach, and I don't know how you fix it. because you have to bring in someone that's going to work with Giannis and Dame that they're going to improve with. At the same time, they're doing things, especially defensively, that are awful. So they need a little bit of tough love right now. It's a very slippery slope. I'm concerned. And I will tell you this, Zach, I've been fading them since the beginning of the year. I've been fading them at the end of last year. I don't see it changing. I think it's going to be a major problem, which disappoints me because I really wanted to see the second one from Milwaukee.
Coming into the season, first coach fired odds were led by Chauncey Billups, Willie Green, Taylor Jenkins, Billy Donovan, and Will Hardy. Nowhere to be found was Doc Rivers. I haven't seen the updated odds there, Mike, but I would be hard-pressed to think that Doc isn't up in that top three at this point.
I just don't think they're going to make the – Zach, if they fire another coach and Giannis ends up leaving, it's like it's a nightmare. So I feel like if he's staying, they would do it. But if he's leaving, I don't know what you do. I don't know if you do that because who are you bringing in unless you want to blow the whole thing up? If they had Middleton back, it would be okay. But this is a problem. It looks like what we've seen before, not all stars can coexist. Not all stars mean wins. Even LeBron and Bosh and Wade, they took a couple years, right? 2-0 against the Bucks. Nowitzki crying, lose the title. Then wouldn't have won the title, but Ray Allen hits the three that's here in my room right now. We're one of the greatest shots in NBA history. It doesn't always work. I get why they tried it. And I think it's a move they had to make, but it didn't work.
Yeah, and it's, you know, are we going to fire Doc and then be paying three head coaches? I imagine you're still paying out Adrian Griffin, right, after letting him go so early. So, again, obviously keeping our eye on, as is the rest of the NBA world, keeping our eye on Milwaukee. Let's also talk about some games we're eyeing here. Again, no games on Tuesday as the NBA takes the day off for their Get Out the Vote initiative, which means 15 games tonight, a big slate on Wednesday as well. Here tonight, the first game I've got on my mind, Philadelphia at Phoenix. Phoenix has been very fun to watch. Coach Budenholzer in there has this offense humming. Ryan Dunn, if you're talking about college guys later, that's another one to add in. He's been awesome. I love this kid. But Philadelphia coming to town to take on the Suns. Paul George will make his debut here tonight. So not full strength Sixers, but I'm excited to see what it looks like here with PG back in the mix.
Yeah, I want to see PG back, especially with some other issues with Joel Embiid. Want some positivity going on right there. I have to shout out Ryan Dunn. Zach, I crushed Ryan Dunn in college, and I crushed him about being a first-round pick. He's an elite defender. There was no doubt about that. He just would multiple free throws that were air balls in college. But he has turned into the floater, the little putback. What, do you have 14 points the other night? I like Ryan Dunn could score 14 points if you took the top five games in the ACC and combined them. But really has found his niche, and he is a superior athlete. All accounts, a great kid and a great defender.
So I gave myself a pat on the back last Thursday with Fife because I brought up, I don't know if you remember, in the preseason I talked about Ryan Dunn against Julian Strother in that late night preseason game where, like, if Ryan Dunn can score like this with the defense that I saw him bring in again, like you said, that's the reason he was a first round pick. But the improvement from three, 39.3%.
That's crazy.
He's a guy who shot 20% from three in college on one attempt per game. Now it's 4.7 attempts per game, 39.3% from deep. I mean, this is it's the pick of last year's draft so far, and I don't think it's particularly close.
No, he looked horrific shooting threes. They almost lost at West Virginia when Bob Huggins left. The team was in disarray, couldn't score. I'm like, Ryan Dunn, where are you? I'm hearing you're a lottery pick. Totally wrong, Zach. I got to eat crow. He's really developed. He is going to have a long NBA career of sustained success.
Pacers at Dallas, another one I've got my eyes on tonight. Very high implied total there. Two teams that can get up and down the floor. Luka against Halliburton. Kyrie against Siakam. I'm excited for that one. And then your rock fight of the night here, Mike. The Knicks and the Rockets. That one, I think, like a 216 implied total. Two defensive-minded teams, but two teams that, again, I think we still have some residual excitement about from the beginning of this season. Looking at Karl-Anthony Towns, the new-look Knicks. They've kind of righted the ship after the disastrous opening night. Houston been a little bit up and down, but again, a very fun team to watch, which, like, I've already watched two Houston games taking on my Spurs. The defense and the versatility on both ends of the floor that they have on the wing is scary to think about for the next couple years to come. And they've also got some trade assets. I think they could be a team. If you're talking about a Giannis Antetokounmpo trade, Houston could make a push. I think OKC has the leg up on the rest of the field there, just with what they can throw in total in a trade package. But Houston would be an interesting landing spot.
Yeah, Houston's been very impressive, exceeded my expectations. Team by team here. First with Dallas, I got to give a shout out to Kyrie, who I always say is very volatile with his scoring. You know, whenever he's the Robin, he's been great for them this year. 23.3 points per game really has been outstanding. Klay Thompson scoring has cut into PJ Washington. But what I love about PJ Washington is that he's now even pushed the defensive acuity more. He's averaging 1.8 steals, one block. So it's almost three stocks per game and is really playing that role well. Knicks, you know, I want to see them take care of the teams that they're better than, and they've done a good job with that. Took Detroit plus 6.5 against the Knicks, got that totally wrong. They jumped out from the start. So the Knicks taking care of business with Tibbs. This is a big matchup here. They're better than the Rockets, but I'm curious how this is going to go because the defensive schemes are so strong on both sides. But yeah, I agree. Giannis, Oklahoma City, could it be? I don't know. I don't see him going to Houston. I think he's going to want to go to a better team than that, but that Oklahoma City certainly has the draft capital and the options to move him. But OKC just looks so damn good.
I know. And, you know, maybe I throw my Spurs in there. They have the draft capital to maybe make a good offer.
Could you imagine Wemby and Giannis?
I know. Don't get me started. Don't get me started here. Like Wednesday games, a couple rematches here. Thunder at Nuggets, right? Part two. We've already seen these teams match up. OKC took care of business the first time. Denver, shorthanded, might still be missing Jamal Murray. He's in the concussion protocol right now. So if you're getting no Jamal Murray, 30-plus minutes of Russ, I'm not sure that the Nuggets are going to fare much better. But this one in Denver, I'll be tuning in. And then part three of Spurs and Rockets, some bad blood between those teams that we've already talked about here on the Fast Break. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think that'll be a good one to tune into as a third-party viewer as well.
And what's wrong with Jamal Murray? You know, he didn't end last year great. He wasn't great in the summer. He's gotten off to a bad start. Like, is he breaking down before our eyes here in one of the more rapid fashions that I can remember? And how about my guy, Russ? Now, listen, he can't make shots to save his life, Zach, but there's got to be some sort of credit for 2 of 11 from the field, 7 assists, 5 steal line. I mean, that's a line that only Russ can do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like, he has sprinkled in a couple good games here or there. And when I say a couple, I mean a couple so far. But again, it's early. It's his new digs. He's playing in the elevation in Denver there. So I'm going to give him a little bit more time. And again, in a starting role tonight on Monday. So maybe he has a big game here tonight for Denver.
And let's not forget, Zach, that Russ's biggest contribution is, hey, Rudy Gobert, you better know where he is on the court if you're going to try to fight Christian Brown, right? Yeah. He wanted no part of Russell Westbrook, okay?
Well, let's close out this episode with our stock up and stock down. We will start with our stock down. I think we actually have the same one here. So, Mike, we're talking stock down about Marcus Hayes, the columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, who was confronted and shoved by Joel Embiid over the weekend. Apparently, Hayes had made comments in a recent article about Joel Embiid's late brother and his son, who both have the same name. I believe the name is Arthur. And this context was Hayes questioning Embiid's professionalism and effort. So Embiid apparently said to him, and I don't know who's going to leak this audio. It's out there somewhere. Embiid said, quote, "The next time you bring up my dead brother and son again, you are going to see what I'm going to do to you. And I'm going to have to live with the consequences." So what's your take here on Marcus Hayes and Joel Embiid?
There is just something that's permeating our entire society where people are going over the line and not just understanding how to treat humans. When you go to a game, you don't have a right to yell at a player about their family, their mother. You don't. You want to boo them. You want to say they stink. That's fine. But there is a line. And most people don't have to deal with that because at your job, there's no one in my ear right now yelling at me that you and Zach are terrible, just screaming in my face as we're doing the Fast Break podcast. And that goes for reporters. Questions are annoying. You don't have a right to question whatever you want. It's the way that you have to ask a question. You have to be appropriate. You have to be considerate to your spouse, to your friends, to your parents, to whoever. And you have to do that professionally. There was no reason for him to bring up the family. Zero. If you want to couch it as, you know, I'm sure Joel Embiid wants to take care of his family, I wouldn't have done that, but that's where you end it. You don't have to bring up the brother. You don't have to bring up the son. Terrible job by him. And don't hide behind the fact, oh, I was just asking a question. No way. There's an implication with every question. That's rude. I don't want to hear about it. Stop going over the line. Same is true for fans. We've seen it with Westbrook a million times. You don't have a right to say whatever you want. You can't say bomb on a plane. You can't say yell fire for no reason. There has to be a line that you can't cross. He did a terrible job by him. Obviously, I can't support and be pushing him, but at the same time, I understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm right there where, like, I would imagine that Embiid, maybe it's not a public thing, but I imagine there will be some sort of remorse expressed for the physicality of this confrontation. But again, like, we also have a strong Philadelphia contingent in our subscribers here at FTN Fantasy. And I know a couple folks, some Sixers fans, saying, yeah, Hayes has been kind of a prick, not just with this article, but now for a little bit of an extended period. So again, just something that you can't have really on both sides, but it starts with Hayes. It starts with the columnist. And again, like Embiid said, you keep his dead brother and his son's name out of your mouth, out of your article.
Totally agree. There's no reason to do it. You saw with the Cowboys, Trevon Diggs, cornerback, he had an altercation. He had a little bit of argument with the reporter. They come out. They made a little joke about it. It's fine. Move on. I don't think there's going to be a joke about this one, but there's a line. You don't have a right to ask whatever you want in any way that you want. No, that's not true.
All right, we'll close it out with our stock ups here. Mike, come on. We've been teasing this. Talk to me about your stock up.
Stock up. The college legends. Peyton Pritchard from Oregon. 5 games with at least 4 threes. Jaylen Brown said they were going to run through Peyton, and he was right against some of the lesser teams. How about Scottie Pippen Jr. doing a remarkable job out with Ja Morant? He's got 3 games, double-digit assists. You put him and Ja Morant together. What are they both in the top 7, top 8 in assists per game? And Jay Huff, Grady Dick, Jay Huff from UVA, one of the more efficient players on the floor. He blocks, he plays his role, can do a couple things, can hit some threes. And Grady Dick, who I thought was a weeble, has developed. Again, has developed as a good shooter as a freshman down in Kansas, but has developed now into an all-around player. Love seeing my college guys who had so much success at the collegiate level making an impact pretty quickly here, first couple years in the NBA.
My stock up here, not super surprising, I think, again, because we're going back to the Spurs here, but you were talking old college legends. How about just old legends, Hall of Famers in general? Manu Ginobili, stock up for Manu, dunking in a blue and white game. This like kind of a legends game for the Argentinian national team, 47 years old, getting out there on the fast break, little off 2 feet, two-handed slam. Brought a little bit of a tear to my eye, man. Manu Ginobili, 47, still getting up there. Stock up, Manu.
Yeah, this wasn't an easy one either. This wasn't a cheap dunk. Like, I know it was off of 2 feet. I get it. But he had some aggression when he threw it down. Yeah. Manu, legend. Total legend. Manu, great job. Love him. Tremendous. And for the old people in the house, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I saw some people joking that Manu Ginobili is bald, but you can still see his bald spot, which is true. It's absolutely true. It's a legendary
Embrace the baldness. Embrace it.
Yeah. Well, Mike, anything else for you here on episode 19 of the Fast Break before we shut it down?
There's not a basketball apocalypse. We have it. All the teams in the NBA on the slate. I got a million college basketball games trying to get my work done today, loading this podcast, doing stuff. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it before Election Day tomorrow and all chaos breaks loose. Whatever you do, let's just enjoy the basketball today. That we can agree with.
Yeah, absolutely. Big week of hoops here. We'll be back on Thursday with another episode of The Fast Break. Enjoy the beginning of your week, everybody. We'll do the same. Until Thursday, he's Mike, and I'm Zach. Goodbye.